The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to Bread for the Journey Radio and our show, Ordinary People, Extraordinary Deeds. We have a great show for you today featuring an interview with Lynn Price, who works tirelessly to help foster kids who've been separated from their siblings come together for a week at summer camp and build a relationship with each other that will hopefully last a lifetime. But first, I'd like to say a few words about Bread for the Journey. We're a nonprofit organization that has a vision to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. And boots on the ground, we have 150 volunteers nationwide that run 26 chapters in 26 cities. And our chapters raise a little bit of money locally and give it away locally in the form of micro grants. And our chapters often give grants to people like Lynn Price, who have lived through something quite difficult and emerged from that experience with an idea to help others in the same boat. We give micro grants often at a critical juncture in the process, and quite often it's a startup grant that really says, I believe in you, which is sometimes more powerful than even the money that we give them. It's a motivator that helps them know that others in the community are behind them. And, you know, we really, our specialty, we really believe in empowering people to help themselves and others at the same time. We don't go into a community and say, we got to fix this problem with foster kids, for example. Rather, we trust that people know where the problems are. The people who live in that community know what the problems are. And better yet, they know how to fix them. They have an idea. And our job is to listen quietly in a community for those people to emerge. And we get to step in and say, can I help with a grant? In fact, our chapter in Orange County funded Lynn Price's program, Camp to Belong. If you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey, or you'd like to know more about how we work, look for us online at breadforthejourney.org or write to me at bfjradio@gmail.com, and we'll get back to you. Our interview with Lynn Price today is about love, loss, and reunion. She has a personal story to tell about being a foster child herself and then later dedicating herself to helping kids reconnect with their siblings at least once a year. She is the founder of Camp to Belong, and she is also a speaker and a coach. And in her coaching, she loves to work with people who have a great idea of something they want to start, and they need a little coaching and support to perhaps strengthen their courage, identify the next steps on their journey, and taking those steps to create a successful endeavor. Lynn is an Ashoka Fellow. She's received the Points of Light President's Service Award presented to her by President Bill Clinton. And she's also the recipient of Oprah's Angel Network Use Your Life Award. Please help me in welcoming Lynn Price. Thank you so much for being here, Lynn.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I certainly appreciate everything you and your organization are all about.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, there's this really interesting place where we intersect, particularly with your coaching. Well, certainly with the Camp to Belong, your program is the kind of program we like to fund. And then in your coaching, you know, you work with very similar population, people who are getting ready to start something and they need a little support somewhere along the way. And, you know, I was really shocked to find that 75% of the almost 600,000 kids in foster care are separated from at least one sibling. Tell us the plight of these kids.
Yes, you know, through no fault of their own, youth that are placed in foster care are oftentimes separated from their siblings. There's a lot of course, attention paid on getting the kids into a safe environment quickly after they can't be taken care of by their parents. And oftentimes that means they can't go into the same home as their brothers and sisters. And it's quite traumatic because oftentimes in those situations, the siblings have become pseudo-parents. And then now they're in yet a stranger's home, oftentimes without any of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredibly difficult. You were one of those kids yourself. What year was it when you entered into foster care? How long ago was that?
Well, it was quite a few years ago. I will put it that way. I was 8 years old. I was 8 months old when I was placed in foster care, and it wasn't until I was 8 years old that I learned that my parents actually were not my parents, and I had an older sister that lived literally across town. Mm-hmm. She is a year and a half older than me, and back then, we did not have any policies or procedures or regulations to get to know each other as friends, let alone sisters. And so we missed out on all those childhood social interactions, typical sharing family situations. And I really today see that a lot of siblings are missing out on that as well.
What is different today in the foster system than it was when you were 8 months old and brought into foster care?
Well, that's a great question. I really do believe the government entities, particularly, and the private agencies, particularly, are trying to give more meticulous love and care and look at the children, look at the youth as individuals and not necessarily a typical number or a case file. They're really trying to zero in on the kids, their personalities, their likes, their needs, and they're asking the children to create their voice, give their voice to how their life is going and where they want it to go to, and give resources, as we do with Camp to Belong, to give them the confidence to make it despite the circumstances they may be in.
I understand that it might be difficult for them to keep the kids in the same family, but are they doing things today that help the kids at least have a modicum of connection with one another?
Yes, many states now have legislation, so there is sibling visitation that is mandated. Oftentimes, court-appointed special advocates come into light, and they're able to support the families and the case managers to get the kids together more often. And then there's programs like Camp to Belong and a lot of our partners out there around the U.S. and around the world who say, you know, this is not just a one-time, once-hour-a-week visitation between siblings, but how can we give them normalcy and fun and interaction so that they can have that connection through care and then through adulthood?
So they get the kids together maybe once a week in a supervised setting. But you, even in that, found that there is a greater need, and I'm guessing that's why you created Camp to Belong, yes?
Absolutely. You know, one of our campers, Zakia, told us a few years back, she said, you know, if I get to meet with my siblings 1 hour a week, that's 52 hours a year, that means I'm trying to maintain a relationship with my family for just 2 days, a little over 2 days.
In a calendar year. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So for Camp To Belong, when our campers come together for 5 nights and 6 days, they literally almost get 5 years of visitation, if you will, in that quality time period. So it's not like they're supervised. They're not in an office. They're not in a restaurant or a park. They are in an environment with other people who are in the same situation as they are, which causes comfort. And then they're with their siblings doing so many different activities, from eating meals together to, you know, climbing walls, to doing arts and crafts, to going to a local college and learning about each other like siblings usually do.
So why don't you paint a picture for us? Tell us what it's like on the first day when kids arrive, and then how their week unfolds.
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people think Camp To Belong's about finding brothers and sisters. We don't find them. Usually we're growing up in the same communities, sometimes going to the same schools, the same religious facilities and all. We just don't have the typical everyday childhood interactions. When they come to camp, on one hand, some are very excited because they are going away and they're understanding that they're going to have fun all week. On the other hand, there's a lot of trepidation and hesitation because they're going to yet another strange environment. There may be some anxiety between siblings because they are separated. Potentially one may have called the police because something was not right in the home, and that's why they're separated. Or there might be other circumstances that they just need to get comfortable with. So our first night at camp, along with an amazing host campsite and amazing volunteer counselors and staff, come together and say, we just want you to be siblings this week. And we start with an opening campfire that just, you know, between the fire and looking up at the stars and singing some songs, everybody really starts to get comfortable and what the week ahead will be for them.
How are the volunteers that work with these kids trained?
Yeah, that's a great question. We, year-round, as we're getting to know our volunteers, of course, supply them with information, you know, about where the kids are coming from and what we may expect at camp in personality and in behavior. And then coming up to each camp, particularly a few days before, we require the volunteers to come so we can get to know each other and talk more specifically on the guidelines to taking care of our kids and just jumping in the trenches to be alongside them.
Uh-huh. And then, so you've got trained volunteers, the kids come, they spend their first day kind of dipping their toes in the water, so to speak, and getting a sense of how everything is going to go. And at night, do they sleep in the same tents or cabins with their siblings?
Yes, we actually have cabins at our campsites, and brothers stay with brothers, and then sisters stay with sisters. And then during the day, that full family unit comes together with other sibling groups that may be similar ages or similar genders, and they spend the days going to activities together. And then at nighttime at the activities, usually all of our campers come together, and then we spend just as much time as we can keeping them as a unit.
What are some of the activities you guys do during the days?
Well, I can tell you some wonderful stories. You know, outside, of course, pending that campsite where we might climb walls, we might swim, we might go in a raft, we might go to the beach, we might hike, we might do zip lines, we might go horseback riding, and all those are fun. We really have what we call signature programs, the way to truly focus on siblings. So we have a sibling birthday party. Our kids don't get to celebrate their birthdays together. Sometimes they don't know the dates. They don't know what ages each other are. They don't remember if the girls like dolls or books or the boys like footballs or rockets. And we set up a store, a birthday store, if you will. And the sibling groups are assigned to each other, each sibling member. And they come in and shop, if you will. They write a sibling birthday card so they can write their sentiments to each other. And then at night, we celebrate by decorating a birthday room with streamers and balloons. And we escort our kids to their tables. So they like have a reservation for dinner.
That's sweet.
And in front of them are their birthday gifts. And then the counselors have this big parade of either birthday cakes or birthday cupcakes with candles lit, and we sing happy birthday till every single birthday cake or birthday cupcake is delivered, and then the kids can blow out the candles together and have fun. That's just one of our sibling signature events because we want them to remember their birthday.
Right, right. Quite beautiful. Do kids come year after year to the program?
You know, some do, and that's bittersweet for us because if they do come back as a sibling group, that means they've been in the system, if you will, and separated from each other. The other side, when it's something good, is when the kids grow up and they become our counselors in training, or they actually become counselors because they now want to give back because they know the impact it made on their whole family.
Mm-hmm. Are your volunteers skilled and set up to handle conflict that might arise between the kids that grew out of, you know, anxiety or a problem that a kid is having with a sibling? Perhaps, as you said earlier, one of the kids was the one who called and reported the family, whatever. How
right.
does that work out?
Right. So, you know, among our volunteers, they come from all walks of life. So some are in a clinical or therapy profession, if you will. Some are might be social workers or caseworker professions. Some might be teachers or coaches who then are interspersed among other people who may be stay-at-home parents or may work on computers or be a mechanic or whatever it is that they want to give of themselves. So there's just an integration of different specialties, and that particularly covers how to balance the behaviors of many personalities, many strangers that come together at one point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine that would be an attractive volunteer job for somebody they already perhaps love and work with kids, and it's a one-week commitment perhaps. Do you have some volunteers that – I know you have – let me back up for a second. I know you have camps now in many different cities around the country. Do you have volunteers that volunteer for more than one camp?
We do, and that's really a lot of fun because we see Camp to Belong as one big family. And because we have a model that works in each of the 10 places we are in now, we can expect the same thing from each camp, except, of course, for campers or maybe some of the activities or maybe some of the volunteers. But we really can transition from one to each other and learn among each other.
Do you have a budget that allows you to cover travel expenses for those volunteers, or do the volunteers volunteer their time as well as, you know, a little pocket money to get where they're going?
The volunteers are amazingly generous and compassionate. They do all of the getting to camp on their own. They spend the week at camp. They get back from camp at home. And it's just remarkable that they want to give so much of their time, their talent, and spend the money to do so.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Really beautiful model. You know, I founded and ran a center for children grieving a death of someone they loved for many years. And one of the tactics we used in helping kids begin to open up and speak and tell their story is that we actually have a formal talking circle. A room, we have, you know, bright colored pillows on the floor. And for the younger kids, we worked with kids as young as three. We had puppets so that if kids were not really comfortable talking themselves, they could talk through a puppet. But having a talking stick where they really get the floor, and they learn over time how to really, you know, they learn how to open up. They begin to feel comfortable opening up, and they also learn the very, very valuable skill of listening. You know, whoever has the talking stick speaks. Whoever doesn't is actively listening. Do you do something like that with the kids?
Yes, I love that. And it's so important to give the kids a safe, open forum to speak among themselves. We have inspiration forums where we'll just gather together, oftentimes in a circle, and we'll tell stories, positive stories, really revolving around the sibling connection. And sometimes just the way they feel or the things they've experienced come to fruition. The other one signature event that's really big in doing that is what we call our sibling pillows. And this is where the kids make pillows for each other. They actually get a little pillow frame, and it has a piece of muslin on it, where they can write a special message knowing that their sibling will take this pillow to their respective homes to sleep with and hug at night. So they'll write this message, they'll decorate the pillow, they'll stuff the pillow, and then sew the pillow. And then the beautiful part of it will be they present it to each other in front of the rest of the camp. And that allows them to speak up, just as you're talking about.
Right. That is a beautiful idea, because, of course, you know, as it is with kids and even with adults, when we turn out the light and go to bed at night, that's when sometimes our greatest anxieties arise. And you've sort of found a way to ameliorate that pain or that loss or that sorrow by them being able to hug a pillow or sleep on a pillow. What a great idea. How did you come up with that?
You know, I think with all the ideas we have for Camp To Belong, it just comes from different people who this light goes on, and then we share, and then volunteers bring it together. And the big thing was, we're going home. After camp, you're going home. What can they physically have that reminds them of their siblings?
Right. So you do that pillow, the sibling pillow activity, as a ritual for closing the week together?
It actually goes on through the week. So on a certain day at each given camp, they'll start to make them, and by the end of camp, they will have presented them.
Mm-hmm. Got it. What a beautiful idea. So the idea for the pillows came from one of the volunteers who was a creative soul.
Yes, and you know, like that too, for example, we do scrapbooks where we have some incredible volunteers who, one young lady whose name is Eileen, who has collected scrapbooks from around the country, and she sends them to our specific camps. And on the last day of camp, the kids make scrapbooks. We've taken pictures for them, or we've given them one-time use cameras, and we develop the film for them. And maybe it's the first picture they have as a sibling group, and they will certainly turn it together and make that scrapbook.
Oh, this is such a beautiful idea. I love it. So we're going to take a break here in a minute, Lynn, and then we're going to come back. And I wonder if perhaps you might personalize it by telling us a few stories in our second segment about some of the kids in your program.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. So please stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment with Lynn Price, founder of Camp To Belong.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Michelle Kors 6 Degrees is your connected consciousness. 6 Degrees is what comes around, goes around radio. Committed to delivering a fresh perspective on thought-provoking, investigative information that can change your life. 6 Degrees connects you to the social and emotional scene and is your trusted advisor from finance to romance, mainstream to metaphysical. It's a positive, upbeat look at life, love, and the pursuit of passion. Get connected Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. We're here today talking to Lynn Price, who's the founder of Camp to Belong, which is a camp that brings foster kids together with their siblings, who they often don't know or don't get to spend enough time with. And they come together once a year for a week-long camp in which they get to really do the things that kids do best, play. They can play together for a full week and strengthen and deepen the commitment and relationship they have with one another. And I learned about Camp to Belong because it was our chapter in Orange County, California, that gave them a grant. How did you meet the people in our chapter, Lynn? Do you recall that?
Yes, our folks just in Orange County have been out in the community and came across some of your chapter members, and they were just totally thrilled and humbled because the chapter members just were compassionate. They sat down in a living room and they talked about Camp to Belong, and the questions were all about the purpose and the dedication and the loyalty, to the point that the grant was for what we call our life seminar. So in Orange County, California, they take the kids to Cal State Fullerton. And when I say the kids, it's the campers who are 14 years and older, where we want to show them that they can be anything they want to be. Mm-hmm. We want to bring them to a college campus and let them experience and talk to, you know, campus counselors and get a feel for what an environment will be. And the chapter there really supported the meals, the t-shirts, the transportation for about 40 kids who at the end of that seminar felt like, hey, I can go to school and I can be anything I want to be.
Oh, that is such a beautiful thing to help them begin to look forward and anticipate and actually get comfortable on a college campus. I'm very excited about that. Our chapter in Orange County is founded and run by a couple I deeply and dearly love, Jack and Joanne Tatham. And they were one of the very first chapters that started with us back in, I want to say, 1998 or 1999, and they've been doing this for a while. Two really lovely, lovely people. And, you know, what you were talking about is one of our signature pieces. Like, when someone comes to us and they say they would like to apply for a grant, we rarely have anything like a grant proposal. Our organization is very relational. So you said they sat in the living room. That's exactly what we do. We invite people to come sit down. You know, maybe they'll go to a coffee shop or maybe they'll be invited into somebody's home at the time that there's a board meeting. And we just sit down person to person and ask questions and have you answer in your own words, and often just use our intuitive sense for who this person is and if it fits with Bread for the Journey and if this is something that really excites everybody in the room, the possibility of a grant. So, yeah, thanks. Yeah. For...
Yeah, we really appreciate that. I think the whole premise of what you talk about, giving circles and it's grassroots and believing in the idea. And I think you said even at the beginning of the program is that it's not just about the money. It's the idea. Believing in somebody's idea validates going forward. And that's what you've certainly done for us.
Yeah, we sometimes find that that's more important than even the grant money.
Yes.
Yeah. So, stories. Maybe we can bring this interview even more alive by telling us a story or two or three about kids that have been through your program.
Yeah, there are so many, as you can imagine. You know, I'd like to say we have camps now in Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, New York, Georgia, Australia, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, and of course Orange County, and growing. So you can imagine the number of stories, not only about the kids, but the counselors as well. One that always rings out for me is a young man by the name of Randy was just emancipating, graduating, if you will, from the foster care system, getting ready to go to the Marines. And his case manager called and said Randy had two sisters, younger sisters, that were going to come to camp. And, you know, it was okay if Randy came or didn't come. You know, he was emancipating from the system, going to the Marines. Really, maybe he's not camp material, if you will. And we asked, does he want to come to camp? And he said, yes. So Randy came to camp with his two sisters, you know, this very macho young man who was getting ready to take on the world. And the moment he saw his sisters, they were joined at the hip. They did everything together. They mentored each other. When they went to go horseback riding, Randy actually admitted that he was scared. And it was one of his little sisters that kind of tugged on his shoulder and said, you know, will you go horseback riding with me? And he did. And he was proud to do that. And then ultimately, Randy went off to the Marines. And that Thanksgiving, he called us from his post in Japan and thanked us for what he had done for his siblings and what we had done for his siblings. And then he ended up coming back in future years, taking his leave to be a counselor in training and then a counselor.
Oh, what a great story.
Yeah. Another story might be, you know, just some of the kids who come to camp. I remember Tina came with her little sister, and Tina was used to being the parent. So she was watching her little sister, you know, what she was wearing, what she was saying, how she was acting. And for us to just go to her and say, hey, Tina, you be a kid for this week. We'll take care of your sister. You just be sisters, was such a relief. And they became good friends and had kind of a different relationship at camp, which happens a lot and helps our sibling groups.
I imagine when kids are in difficult home situations where parents are acting out in all the ways that, you know, adults can, that sometimes kids do really step up and become pseudo-parents. And it must be some effort, really, to begin to change that behavior, because I imagine it becomes ingrained. Is that so?
Yeah, it's like we have to give them permission to be their age, be in their birth order, and be a kid. And then in that same environment, I can tell you about a young man, Dennis, who, you know, we talked about different behaviors along the way here, is he came to camp being the big brother of two little brothers, and he just had an attitude. You know, he was just, you know, miserable. He had a chip on his shoulder. And I remember at one point in time saying, you know, Dennis, look around you. Look at how beautiful this camp environment is. Look at these volunteers who, like, want to be with you. Look at the fact that you're one of only a few campers that somebody cares about you enough to let you have this experience with your brothers. And look at your brothers. They're watching every move you make. And it was almost, again, that approval, that permission, that his walls just came down. And when we were at one of these inspiration forums one night, he stood up and looked directly at his brothers and said, don't act like me. There are people out there that care about us, so we can be nice. And so he was a leader, not necessarily a parent, but then a big brother to them.
Oh, that's really beautiful. And with just a little bit of guidance, he was able to make a shift in himself.
Yes.
Difficult. Really beautiful story. Really beautiful story. Do you, or I'm sure you do, and how do you deal with it? Do you have kids where you really do have some behavior, some serious kinds of behavior problems?
Yes, you know, we do. We are giving our campers this amazing opportunity to play among their brothers, sisters, new friends, and volunteers. And because of where they've come from, sometimes they look at it as a test. You know, is this really for real? I don't know that I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to kind of act out because you're probably going to send me home like other people may send me home, or you're not going to let me do an activity, because really in typical families, that's what happens. And our philosophy is say no as little as possible. Of course, we want everybody to be safe, but we know when we look these kids in the eyes and we just let them get calm and tell them how wonderful they are, most oftentimes any of that behavior will dissipate. If it doesn't, we have staff that helps us go through it, grow through it. And every once on occasion, we will have to send somebody home, which we hate to do because we don't want to be somebody that turns them away. So that's when it's something that may be dangerous for us. And I'll tell you what, on some of the occasions that we've had to do that, the kids will come back the next year and they'll be different kids because they understand the opportunity, the privilege, and that we care to give them a second chance.
Yeah, but there are consequences to that behavior that they might not like. Yeah, it's real consequences. Yeah.
Yeah, but we take a long time to get to that.
I get it. Yeah, I understand. How many kids are in one camp at any one time?
Generally, our camps are somewhere between 65 and 85 campers.
Wow, that's a lot of kids. And do you take all age ranges?
They usually start about 8 years old and go to about 18 years old. You know, on the younger side, we want to make sure that they can stay away from home, you know, as that we do. Mm-hmm. On the older side, we want to make sure that, you know, they will be appropriate and understand that they'll be role models and affect their later time in life. And we've had sibling groups of 2 up to 7. I think one time we had a sibling group of 10.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That must have been something to see. You did reunite with your sister when you discovered her, that she existed, and you were, I guess, 8 years old. Tell us how your own relationship evolved with your sister and how you are together today.
Well, my sister is phenomenal. Now I'm emotional about it because she is so phenomenal. She's not only my sister, but she's my very best friend alongside my daughter. And she always wanted to meet me when we knew each other existed, and I was the one who was very hesitant. She'll tell the story that when I first met her at the agency where we were placed, I just said, "You're not my sister, you're not my sister." I didn't want to have anything to do with this other life that was just dealt to me. But when I was a junior in high school and she was a freshman in college, she invited me to visit her on her college campus. And I was excited. I was going to college and I was scared because I was going to spend it with a stranger and with somebody I didn't really tell anybody about. And I got to the campus and she came running to the car, threw her arms around me, whispered in my ear, "Can I introduce you as my little sister?" And we spent a weekend together where we realized that despite the time and the difference and the difference of opinion, that we were a lot alike. And we ended up getting to know each other, spend time together, have our families get to know each other. We laugh a lot. She's like a contagious laugher. And she's a teacher and she's a great wife and mother and sister and just an incredible, incredible person, and we really have a lot of respect for each other. And we, along with other former youth in care who may be counselors as well, and maybe even siblings who have not experienced the system, can step up and show that this relationship means something. And despite it all, we can be close.
Oh, your sister works with people with disabilities. Is that correct? Did I get that
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. 38 years.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering about, well, you know, we have to take a break. I have more questions. And I would love to talk a little bit about your coaching people to start something that is important to them. So let's take this break. And to our listeners, please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments with Lynn Price of Camp to Belong.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Adoption changes a family forever, for the adopters as well as the adoptees. There are many adjustments that need to be made, from lifestyle to financial, and the personal rewards are unlimited. Listen every week for Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. We will examine in detail such topics as international and domestic adoption. We will talk with adoption professionals and hear stories about real families adopting. If you've been thinking about adoption or recently began the process, you'll want to tune in to be inspired every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back. We're here talking with Lynn Price of Camp to Belong, and I can't believe how quickly this hour has almost gone by. We've got the final segment here, and I was saying just before we hung up that, you know, thinking about genes and how sometimes kids, I've seen stories on 60 Minutes about kids that were separated at birth and then they find each other as adults and they have similar, really similar tastes and traits. I imagine you find that a lot. And I thought about that because you were talking about your sister and you're both really in this service and helping and compassionate care field, doing little different things, but really similar motivations.
Yeah, you know, I actually had not thought about it that way. Thank you for bringing that up. That is very true, that without the, you know, seeing each other when we were younger, somewhere inside us, we both knew that we had to help other people. And, of course, she's very, very active in Camp to Belong as well. But, you know, I did not really put that two and two together to see how we both do that. So thank you for recognizing that.
You're welcome. And I imagine you sometimes see it with kids that come together, like how similar they are, even though they're not living under the same roof. They like the same cereal or, you know, I mean, that's a simple example, but I imagine you see that a lot.
Well, yeah, we do. And I think what's beautiful is when they recognize that they like the same colors, the same cereal, the same music, the same clothes, the same TV shows.
Right.
They're just like so surprised and happy.
Right. And so I understand that your counselors sometimes go on to develop deeper relationships with particular kids. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, you know, like I said, our counselors are just so unselfish and compassionate. And oftentimes after camp, they'll become court-appointed special advocates. We'd have some change their careers and become caseworkers. We've had some become foster parents, as I have, or adoptive parents, too. And I just recall this one particular young woman by the name of Tammy, who volunteered at one of our camps, and she and her husband, Jason, had talked about having a family, and, you know, I guess that was kind of on her mind when she was going to camp, and she observed this young sibling group, and as you know, as a part of Camp To Belong, we have these forums, and this one sibling group was available to speak at the forum, and this one young lady got up and talked about how she'd love to be adopted, but she was afraid that she'd be separated from her siblings. And Tammy tells the story so much better, but she just said she could not pretend like she didn't hear that. And so she went to the phone later on at night and called her husband, Jason, and said, "I think I met our kids." And I just get chills every time I hear that. And they ultimately have adopted this sibling group, and it just shows the unconditional support, the love, the sincerity, that our counselors jump in the trenches and then go that far to define family in yet a different way.
Oh, so beautiful. And I think about people who may be listening. You know, people always, because we have 150 volunteers and 1.5 paid staff here at Bread for the Journey, we work a lot with volunteers, and I did as well at my previous work. And so people often ask me, you know, I'm sort of thinking about volunteerism and, you know, what do I want to look for? What kinds of questions should I even be asking? And I always tell them to think about what they love the most, what connects them in their heart. And I was thinking, as you were telling that story, that people that might be listening to the show that are interested perhaps in something, a spark has been ignited as part of this conversation. If they wanted to make contact with you and talk about perhaps a role with you as a camp counselor, how would they do that?
Well, certainly the Camp To Belong website is Camp To Belong, and it's CampToBelong.org. And through there, they can learn about the different camps that we have, the different opportunities to volunteer, to donate, and then certainly can get to me through there as well.
Right. And I also will say to our audience, if you're so moved by what Lynn is doing here at Camp To Belong, please reach down into your pocket and make a donation. I know organizations like both of ours operate primarily on donations from people who love what we're doing and feel a connection to what we're doing. And so I invite you to reach out and help. You know, when I wrote the show description for this show, the words that just came to mind for me were loss, love, and reunion. And they were not words I heard from you when we had our original talk, or even, I mean, it's exactly what was happening, but wasn't what I saw sort of written in print that way on your website. Did I hit the nail on the head by putting it?
you did. I mean, you absolutely did, because, you know, our youth have experienced loss in monumental ways, you know, even more so than the sibling bond. They come together and, you know, with the first high five or thumbs up or, you know, ring around the campfire or climbing up the climbing wall or swimming alongside each other or making pillows, they feel this love, even the silly camp songs that we do. And the reality is it's not only a reunion at camp. After camp, we encourage them to use their voices and let their care-providing team know how important that sibling relationship is. Some of our camps have year-round reunions where the kids will continue to get together and even invite some of the other kids that may live in their homes. Because the big thing is we want to educate people. And through educating people, we have affected legislation We've affected recruitment of more families for siblings. We've affected best practice among child welfare professionals. And above all, even siblings from tight-knit loving families are reuniting and understanding that the sibling definition is oftentimes your longest relationship in life, surpassing your parent-child relationship. It's your history.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So in doing this work that you did, it sounds like somewhere along the line you thought that you could offer something to other people who were dreaming about starting something, and you developed a coaching practice in which you support and help them. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it really ties to what your organization does. It's talking to people and validating that anything is possible. So when I coach people, I, you know, kind of just say, let's stop talking about it. Let's do it. And it's really through five different steps where you think about your innovation, you get creative about it, you think about those entrepreneurial skills, you know, your insights, your gut, you think about the impact it's going to make. And then you just take your ethical fiber, you be a good person, and you surround yourself with good people. And I really help put together the path through all of those to make that vision come to reality. I call it vision for a change. And we all have it. And sometimes you take that first step without even knowing where it's going to go. But the impact is what I call the power of the ripple. The ripple just expands far and wide, and you educate and you celebrate and you change the world.
Mm. So without sort of breaking confidentiality, can you tell us a story about somebody that you've coached and what the coaching experience might have been like, at least for you?
Yes, I can. You know, I have worked with a young lady who had a vision for an organization. It was really all about how do we connect people just around grief and yearning and learning. And that's such a tough, tough subject to go to. And rather than approaching it on the side that is tough, we approached it on the beautiful side of it. What are the memories of grief and loss? And how does that make people stronger and heal, not necessarily faster, but more fulfilling? And just talking through all those kinds of things, she started on her own, just talking to other individuals who were in those situations, and then building a support group, and then growing from that support group.
And that must have been fulfilling, especially, you know, I come from the field of grief and loss, and so it touches a place in my heart as well. Yeah. So how much time do you spend with Camp to Belong, and how much in your coaching practice?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, every day, of course, for us is a new adventure, a different adventure. As a member of the international board, I'm very privileged to be the voice for Camp to Belong, and oftentimes go to the different camps during the summer and get to play among the kids and raise up the volunteers and all the great contributors like you have, the people who donate for the camps to make happen. And so then throughout that, I'm doing some of the coaching as the clients or the groups come together, and then really look for other volunteer opportunities that are aligned with youth and foster care to make a difference as well. So the mix really changes, particularly when it comes to camp season.
Mm-hmm. And your camp season is summer, I presume. I said summer camp earlier, but you and I know, had never talked about that.
Yeah, it's mainly summer. Of course, we have a camp in Australia, so their summer's a little bit on a different calendar than ours, so we work it that way. And then we have the reunions year-round.
Mm-hmm. Do you have someone in Australia that's sort of heading that whole thing up for you over there?
Yes. You know what? Each one of our camps, we call them member camps, and they get together with another nonprofit, and we are all about collaboration and connection. And so we really try to see who else can we work with to work alongside, to be a program of, to raise education, to use our collective expertise together. So like in Australia, there's a group out there, as there is in each of the ones in the United States as well.
Uh-huh, that's beautiful. Well, we're getting close to the end of our session. This went by so fast, I can hardly believe it. But before I close with what I like to close with around Bread for the Journey, I would like to know if there's anything that you have coming up that you'd like to say on the air, or anything that you'd like to say, period, to the listeners of our show.
Well, I think what I'll say is I'll take it from your website. I read, I believe it was Wayne that said, generosity is the best of who we are. Mm. And generosity can be defined in so many different ways. So for Camp To Belong, we are just really, really grateful for the generosity of all the types of folks that I talked about. We do have a big summer season coming up, and we look for volunteers and contributions in all kinds of shapes and sizes. And, you know, you have a vision, you got to go out, stop talking about it, and do it. And to you, I really commend you, and I admire you for taking what's happened in your life and bringing all of us together. And then finally, I just say for everybody, you know, after you hear this radio show, take a moment and pick up the phone and call your sibling or write them a letter, or at the next holiday or the next memorial, remember how important siblings are in our lives.
Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful closing. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, Lynn. I'm happy and excited to know more about Camp To Belong, and I certainly won't forget it. And hopefully there will be a day when I can send volunteers your way that really want to do this kind of work.
Well, we certainly, certainly appreciate it. And again, we can be found at camptobelong.org.
Great. And to our audience, Bread for the Journey is also a nonprofit organization. And like all nonprofits, we need donations in order to thrive. If you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter, perhaps, of Bread for the Journey in your town, you can go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. And I believe that if we all pitch in a little bit, we really can change the world. And I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.